Welcome to the Sunbury Press Book Show on the BookSpeak Network. Sunbury Press publishes print, electronic, and audiobooks under a variety of imprints and categories, available worldwide wherever books are sold. And now your host, the founder and CEO of Sunbury Press, Lawrence Knorr.
We're at the Christian Baker Farm near historic Bowling Springs, Pennsylvania. My guest today is Roger Smith, the author of The Blackmailer, Book 3 in the Rian Krieger's Journey. It's 1838, St. Petersburg, Russia's window to the west. 13-year-old tomboy Rian Krieger has run away to Russia to help her uncle and cousin build a railroad for Tsar Nicholas I. But there's a problem. Rian is posing as her uncle's coachman, a boy. The Tsar takes note of Rian's bravery and resourcefulness and asks her, meaning orders her, for a request from the Tsar of all the Russias is in fact a command, to spend her days in his palace as companion to Grand Duke Constantine, his 10-year-old son. In Philadelphia, USA, the workshop of the world, an economic depression has created massive unemployment and thrown the city into turmoil. Jules Freeman, who fled from slavery 18 years ago, is a busy man. He struggles to keep his fledgling business afloat. He makes ends meet as foreman at Krieger Coach. His home is at a station on the Underground Railroad. Then he's asked to take on a huge task that intrigues and challenges him. Book 3 of Rian Krieger's Journey immerses Rian, Jules, their families, friends, and enemies in a history that has been ignored for almost two centuries. Roger Smith loved his first profession, teaching American history, because the antebellum era railroads, canals, and social justice issues fascinated him. But his passions and professions evolved. He worked as a teacher of mentally gifted students, farmer, owner of two summer camps, founding director of a participatory science museum, and director of a rural arts council. You can learn more about Roger at rogerasmith.com. Roger, welcome again.
Oh, it's really good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Book 3. This is, I think, when we start to get critical mass here.
I believe so. I'm certainly seeing a lot more activity.
Good. I think we talked about this a lot. The journey that a fiction author takes writing a series, nobody cares about the first book. Second book, they're starting to think, maybe he's got something here. But they want to commit once you have three and then thereafter. So congratulations.
Well, honestly, yeah. That's one of the kindest things you ever said to me was, I don't think book one is going to sell very well. And I was kind of taken aback by it. But then you explained exactly what you just said. And lo and behold, it's really quite true. And I'm seeing a lot of activity and I'm actually getting fan mail. Go figure.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they are beautiful books. And it is a fascinating twist on history, interesting characters. It's all there. So they hooked on to Roger A. Smith yet. And those that haven't listened to the prior podcasts, we'll encourage them to go back and do so. But let's tease them with a little bit about book one and book two, the journey to this one.
Well, thank you. In book one, The Conductor, we meet Rian Krieger as an 11-year-old tomboy, and she comes under the mentorship of three individuals. One, Jules Freeman, who you mentioned in the introduction, who escaped from slavery in 1820 and currently is the foreman of her father's factory. And Lucretia Mott, who is an actual historical character, an abolitionist, and would, in years later, become an advocate for women's rights. And then her cousin Seamus, who's kind of a ne'er-do-well, and he starts a fire company with a controversial mission. But in any case, Rian eventually becomes a conductor on the Underground Railroad. And that's why that book is called The Conductor. The Coachman, we see the Pennsylvania timeline or plot line diverge with Rian's plot line because she runs away to Russia to help her uncle and cousin build railroad factories in Russia. But meanwhile, Jules stays in the United States. The blackmailer, those plot lines come back together, and we end back in Philadelphia, where we're going to stay for a while.
Okay. Very interesting. And, well, I guess we can talk about the two different tracks. First, in Philadelphia and the Underground Railroad, you know, your research there, are there any tidbits that you found really fascinating as you were researching and writing this?
Absolutely. Actually, I started writing this whole tale to take place in central Pennsylvania, where I used to live. And after I finished the first book, which is not book one, it's going to be book five, I came to the conclusion that Rian was too skilled, too adept, too on the ball to be a believable character. So I had to go back and create her backstory. And mm-hmm. I kept going back in time and place, got to Philadelphia, and discovered what I call a novelist paradise, because there was so much conflict. There is the largest community of African-Americans, free African-Americans in the United States, for instance, which was thriving. They had there was a black middle class that had self-help groups and libraries and of course, abolitionist societies. And I never knew about these people. One of the wealthiest men in Philadelphia in this era was a guy by the name of James Fortin, who was an African-American sailmaker. He owned a sailmaking loft on the Delaware River. I never heard about him, and I taught history, so that I was embarrassed, but happy.
Yeah. Pennsylvania mm-hmm. being the first state to abolish slavery before the U.S. Constitution was adopted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we too easily, it's too easy to fall into basic narratives in history, you know, where, you know, the national narrative is there was slavery before 1865, so therefore it must have been everywhere. And it was only after the Civil War that slavery was abolished. The truth is, it's very gray. And as you just said, there was a thriving community in Philadelphia from very early on. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Richard Allen and the AME Church.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, another thread there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and then you tie in Russia. So, first of all, why Russia? Why pick Russia for Rian? Why not Germany or France or Brazil?
Well, two things. Yeah. First, I used to teach Russian history.
Okay.
And so there's a great deal that's familiar of this that was familiar territory to me. But as I was doing my research, I came upon another thing that I didn't know, which was that the Tsar's Winter Palace in St. Petersburg burned to the ground in 1838. And I thought, gee, that would be really fun to get Seamus there, Seamus being a firefighter. Hmm. And maybe he could do something. And the more I dug into this, the more it seemed like Rian should go along on the trip. And therefore, I had to construct that whole scenario. And it ended up flowing fairly well. And I also learned some other stuff that, once again, I didn't teach in high school history because I didn't know about it. Catherine the Great wrote three different memoirs about her life, and they were mutually conflicting. They said different things. Hmm. So obviously some were meant to be made public, some were not. But in any case, one that was not made public until 1859 described her affair with a military man by the name of Saltykov, who Catherine claimed was the father of her child Paul, who became Tsar Paul I. And if that, and since Catherine was a German princess, she wasn't a Romanov. She married into the family firm. And the implications of the fact that she had a bit of Romanov blood in any of the czars that came after.
Wow.
So I thought I could use that one. And that came after I got everybody there to the fire. So I just piled good fortune upon good fortune as far as myself as a novelist was concerned. So that was all fun for me.
Did not know that. Very interesting. We're talking to Roger Smith. We'll be right back.
Sunbury Press Books brings you the work of unique and independent authors. Brown Posey Press is our imprint for fiction and nonfiction. Check out Neighborhood Girl, a memoir by Linda Schifino, Promise Full of Thorns by Jean Harkin, or Shake Hands with the Devil, the third volume of the Sweet Dreams series by Tori Gates. Find these and more by clicking on the Brown Posey Press tab at sunburypress.com.
I'm talking to Roger A. Smith, the author of The Blackmailer, Book 3 of Rian Krieger's Journey. So, Roger, we're in Russia, and how does the Amber Room get involved with this?
Actually, it's very interesting. The Amber Room was a room, a very ornate room, sheathed in amber that was built in the Tsar's palace in Tsarskoye Selo, which was about 15 miles away from St. Petersburg. But amber became kind of a signature color for much of the renovations that occurred in the Winter Palace, which was a whole different thing. But it was amber, as you can imagine, is a rare substance, and to have an entire room sheathed in it is quite remarkable.
Yeah, and there's a whole story to the Amber Room, which of course happens later on with Germany, and you know, where is it today? And I think it's been rebuilt, but
that part I don't know. I know that it got removed during one of the wars.
Yeah, yeah. Rian, and what Rian's up to in Russia.
Well, Rian comes upon this bit of information because she is being tutored in the presence of the Tsar's son, Constantine, and his daughters. And one in the wake of the fire that burned down the palace, the Anichkov Palace, which is where the Tsar moved his family to, as well as the affairs of state, it's just a mess because they've consolidated all this paper and furnishings and artwork and everything else into a palace that was already furnished. So there's mayhem there. And therefore, the Catherine's memoir, which had been under lock and key, literally, was just out and about. Now, this is me, of course, extrapolating from actual history. And so one of the Tsar's daughters starts to read it. She, because it's written in French and Rian knows French, she asks Rian to help out. The revelation becomes evident. And now Rian is privy to information that she eventually uses to blackmail the Tsar, because the Tsar, actually not the Tsar, is one of the Tsar's minions, a guy by the name of Prince Volkonsky, who was an actual historical figure, throws Seamus and Rian's uncle into prison, and she blackmails the Tsar to get them out.
Wow.
But there's a problem, because she has written a second copy of the memoir and sent it to Philadelphia in order to make sure that the Tsar just doesn't kill everybody. So anyway, it's kind of an interesting twist.
That is an interesting twist. Imagine Rian as a blackmailer. Anyway.
Well, it's also fun because she's only 13 years old. And so as I was writing this, I had to figure, okay, now how can this even be remotely plausible? So what she does is set two very powerful men against one another, Volkonsky and a guy by the name of General Benkendorf, who was in charge of the third section, which was the secret police in Russia in this era. And so by setting the two of them against one another, she just kind of rides it out.
Yeah. So how would you say Russia was different than it is today? There's so much about Russia today that's so negative. And of course, you have the whole USSR period from sure. like 1917 to the 91.
Sure. It's always been a gray country. The weather has been long and mean, and that's been very difficult. There is something about the Russian character, and this is a bit of a mystery to me, that is willing to adhere to an autocrat that yeah. just buys into that system. And I don't, of course, understand it. I was born and raised in the United States, and it's just individualism creating your own path is just baked into my own DNA. So I don't understand that. But what I do also know is that the Russian people are capable of incredible feats. Even back in this day, they raised a literally a million-pound column that was carved out of stone in Finland, taken by barge to St. Petersburg, and moved about a quarter of a mile away to the Alexander Square and erected. And this column is big, and it's not nailed down. Its own weight is keeping it erect. And somehow they stood this 100-foot column up on end in a matter of hours. Now, I can't, you know, that's something on the scale of the pyramids, for crying out loud. And yet here are the Russian people just mustering this incredible amount of energy to do something that I can't even fathom. And much in the same way, the same Russian people put Sputnik in the in orbit. So they are capable of profound things, and yet sadly saddled with this autocratic mindset. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. And on that note, we'll take another break. We'll be right back.
Sunbury Press Books is your home for the writings of independent authors. Loch Ness Books is our young adult imprint, including Joe Harvey's Summer Changes Everything, Deanne Baker's The Boaters Club, and Arcane Maurer's Forbidden Powers series. Find these and other books by diverse authors at sunburypress.com.
I'm back with Roger Smith, the author of The Blackmailer and The Rian Kriger's Journey. So, Roger, book three, what do you have going on? You said there was a lot of action, a lot of interest. You have some events coming up?
Yes, I do. They're all here in Cape Cod. I've got some author talks, a book release party. I'm doing something different, and this was at yours. You didn't suggest it to me. You just kind of mentioned it to a number of your authors that, you know, try to sell books where nobody else is selling books. And so I am setting my tent up the weekend before Memorial Day at the local Ace Hardware, which is just a riot. My friend Jimmy Backstrom has said, sure, come and set up. And so it's going to be a thing. So people are going to go in thinking they were doing some home maintenance buying, and maybe they'll buy my book for a beach read. You never know.
So they go in, get their hammer, their screws, come out, get some Girl Scout cookies, and then come over to you and get a book.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And fortunately, the hardware store is right next door to the Brewster Bookstore. So we can also send them over there, too. So.
That's great. That's great. It's amazing how that works. I have seen it work countless times.
I'll report back.
Yeah, I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear. And, you know, places where you don't normally have people selling books, like street fairs and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. All right, so book three. How many books do we have planned? What's ahead for us?
There are going to be 9 books in this series. I was working on book 4 this morning, and I will get back to book 5, which was the original book that I wrote that ends up in Central Pennsylvania. Rian actually is going to attend the Women's Rights Convention in 1848 that was the brainchild of Lucretia Mott and a couple of others. She's going to go to the Oneida community in central New York, which was a utopian community during this era. Then she's going to become a she's going to walk cross country as a 49er. She's going to go to San Francisco and then return to Philadelphia under very trying circumstances and rejoin the anti-slavery movement, which is, of course, heating up before the Civil War. So this is going to be a thing. And then we will have – yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was excited to jump in when you were talking about coming back to Pennsylvania and anti-slavery. Uh-huh. You do know Chambersburg is a very interesting place before the Civil War.
Well, guess what? Rian has two step aunts.
Mm.
And she is going to, both born in Württemberg, which was a principality in Germany,
yep.
But they emigrate to the United States. One moves to Newport, which is where I used to live, and one goes to Chambersburg, which is going to be very convenient because John Brown was there during the time pre-war era. Then Chambersburg got burned to the ground during the Civil War. So there's a ton of interesting stuff that goes on there, and we're going to be right in the middle of it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of John Brown. I got his portrait hanging across the room staring at me.
Do you? Oh, that's grand.
He's, I don't know what name he used when he was living in Chambersburg and planning the raid on Harper's Ferry, but he planned it all apparently from there. And
He did.
He used an assumed name or a different name than John Brown.
Yeah. And I have read it, but it's, I'll get back to that.
Anyway, just yeah. It's about Rian, I know, but I get into all these other tangents.
This whole thing is so much fun for me because what I like to do is get these post holes, like Chambersburg, for instance, which is a post hole, to then, how am I going to get my characters there and what's going to happen? And it has to be logical. You just can't dump them into some place without any context. And therefore, Rian's aunts are, we meet them in book three. And so, yes, they end up in Chambersburg, but that's a seed that doesn't come to fruition until book eight.
Wow. Wow. Very, very interesting. So, we've talked a little bit about some of the realizations you've had as an author as you advanced on to book three. Do you have any advice for your fellow authors or listeners about being an author now that you've been one for a little while?
Well, when I was first starting out, everybody said, write what you know. And, you know, I buy that. But honestly, I've changed it and flipped it on its head. And my new mantra is, write what makes you grow. And I feel as though that's what's happened to me. My research has uncovered so much information that, as I mentioned before, I was almost embarrassed that I didn't know about. And so I think not only am I growing as an author, but I'm also growing as a human being because there is a lot that has gone on in American history that is very humbling and eye-opening, and it's good for me to know about it. And if people learn about that through my books, then that makes me very happy.
I really like that advice. That's almost like a T-shirt or a slogan for a writer's conference. Write what makes you grow, not what you know. You know, that's brilliant.
Well, that works.
That does. That does for sure. Yeah, I think. Also, your discussion on history, you know, you were someone who taught history. I'm sure as you research history, and I've experienced this too, you just realize the complexity of history, and it's not as clear-cut as we were taught at lower levels.
No.
Yeah. And, Yeah. And stories that are deliberately written out or ignored or not included in narratives these days. So important to bring them back.
It is so interesting. And in some cases, I have traced them back to the guy who wrote the revised history that excluded or marginalized so many people and took their place in the sun away. In some small way, I hope I'm returning some sunlight to many of these people and some of these movements.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've gone from sort of your romantic period of history and your military history of all the kings and queens and generals and wars, and more recently, more into the social history of the people, the culture. Uh-huh. And it's all interesting, but the latter is even more so, I think. There's just a lot more depth to it.
Well, there is substance, and it's where a novelist really belongs, I think, because we're supposed to thrive making our main character miserable, so there's a lot of opportunities there.
Well, you have the privilege of researching history, which I love to do, but then you're taking the license of a novelist and making it even more fun by adding the pieces that we can't possibly know because it's lost.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, Roger. Well, it's been great talking to you. We're just about out of time. Any closing comments besides write what you what will make you grow?
It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I think that another piece of advice is if you can write for 10 minutes, write for 10 minutes. If you can write for an hour, do that. But after a while, you'll find that you've created a body of work, and that body of work will stand on its own.
So, Lao Tzu, the journey of 1,000 steps, right?
There you go.
Yeah. On that note, this has been the Sunbury Press Book Show.
Thank you for listening to the Sunbury Press Book Show on the BookSpeak Network. Check out our website at www.sunburypress.com for our latest releases. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter to receive special offers and discounts.